case. There's a lot of people, for some reason, that don't like to come to church. There's a lot of intimidation there. And trying to reach those people, they depend on me setting this thing up. So set this up, then they miss some words, and I'm hoping that one day they'll walk through those doors.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's working.
There's...
Your mic.
Is it not working? Is it not working? It's not on. Maybe it's not on. Hello, hello, hello. Now we got it. All right. So there's a lot of people that depend on this stuff. It's weird, you know. It's just like, you know, they'll listen to it. They ask me, like, often. They're like, are you preaching today? Are you preaching? Like, you know, and I'm like, well, come to church. But there's a hesitation there, so, you know. But, you know, it's funny, too, because there's a lot of them that are believers. So it's kind of, they're believers, but they got burnt in the church. You know anybody that's gotten burnt in the church? I know quite a few now that I didn't know before. They put a little too much emphasis on people. And people will let you down. I'll let you down. So don't put a lot of focus on me. Focus on Jesus, right? That's how that works. So. But anyways, so there's always a... Getting this thing all right. Okay. So there's about, I don't know, almost 50 people that listen to this thing on YouTube, which is crazy. Alright. Confirmation, always a good thing. It really gives me comfort when I see confirmation. Not quite sure what these things are for. Alright. Maybe it's when I start sweating. Oh, that's the old wineskin. Oh, hey, old wineskin's over there. What was this? Oh, okay, all right. We're getting it, all right. So confirmation, just it's always comforting to get confirmation. If the person who comes up to speak, right, Steve? It's when you get confirmation, it's always good. Amy chose that song. Jesus loves me, you know, and that song, when I first heard it, I had like tears in my eyes, and it's just like so important to recognize that. But you're going to hear that come up. She said, I hope the people of Israel knows that God loves them. Bill came up and shared a little thing about Israel, and I'm going to kind of incorporate that a little bit into part of the message as well. So all these things are kind of coming into play, so therefore I feel pretty comfortable bringing this message. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the journey. I love to tell you guys the journey of where God brings me and stuff. I think it's really important to understand how He talks to different people and stuff. So anyways, Friday night a week ago, I was praying, saying... Not in the shower. I was praying outside the shower. Actually, today was one of the only days I didn't get any adaptions in the shower, which is really, really bizarre. But anyway, so I was praying on a Friday night outside the shower and asking God, like, what do you want me to bring for a message? And I didn't really get inspired at that moment. And so I just kept praying, and I finished my prayer, and I said, I love you, Jesus. And instantaneously, He said, why? And I said, oh. Why? Why are you asking me why? So, it's like, gee whiz, like, why? And I just started thinking about that for a second. I'm like, so thoughts were going through my head, like, why do I love Jesus? Why do I love Jesus? And so I spent the night kind of thinking about that. He really made me ponder that. Really, really had a lot of ideas about that. So anyways, the next morning we're at the men's meeting at Lamb's Chapel, and we were singing, I love you, Jesus. And every time he would sing that, I would hear why in my head. Why? Why do you love me? And then we sang, what was the other part that we sang? Then we sang, I love your presence. I love your presence. And again, the words why came out in my head. And so that's what brought me to this message. It's just a lot of pondering about why I love Jesus. Why do I love Jesus? Do we ever sit down and actually ask ourselves that? So, in typical fashion, when God asks me a question, sometimes I'm inspired to ask you all the same question. And so I'm curious, why do you love Jesus? And this is not a theological question. I want you to understand that. I'm not looking, and I don't think God is looking right now for a theological answer. I'm supposed to say this. That's not what God is looking for. And he also, for today, I don't think we're going to get into like a testimony of why we love Jesus. I just want to know, like, why? Just one response. First thing that comes to your mind and heart. Why do you love Jesus? Why do you love Jesus? There are no wrong answers because it's personal. But I'm going to bring it somewhere after I hear it. So if somebody who takes notes could write down the answers to this, I would appreciate it. Anybody? You going to write it for me, Jen? Thank you. So, Bill, who has the mic? Yeah, bring it right to Bill. So why does Bill love Jesus? Read it. Bill.
Because he first loved us.
Because he first loved us. Oh, good answer. Who else? Why do you love Jesus? Right here, Joe.
Comfort.
Comfort. Right there. Glenn.
Because he's with me 24/7.
Because he's with me 24/7. And what does that do for you, having him with you? Hang on here. Come back to Glenn for a second. What does that do for you, having him there 24/7?
It gives me the peace that passes all.
Gives you peace. Gives you peace. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Yep. Good. We got the young guy running today. So this is awesome. This is what he's trained in the military for, right here. He's here to run.
Because he's got my back.
He's got your back.
He's never, ever not been there for me.
He's got your back. All right. Right over here to Marie. Let's go across the room.
Because he brought me out of the darkness into the
light. He brought me out of the darkness into the light. Who else? Right over here to Doug. We'll come back to you, Louise, after. You've seen her hand go up and I miss her. She's 1 second behind the next person.
Let's just see how we can ricochet air across
that. Well, zigzag all the way.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Thank you. Forgiveness. Right over here, Louise.
Because he's alive.
Because he's alive. Oh. Now we're touching on something. All right. Let's go to Doug. Ron.
Because he promised me a new life if I believe.
He promised me a new life. He promised it right back to Jerry.
His sacrifices.
His sacrifices. Right to Mel.
He got this. He got this.
He's got this. He's got this. He's got this. Gotcha. I got you. He's got this.
Because he makes me want to be a better person, better man.
Oh, he wants me to be a better man. Very nice. Right to that for you.
Because he gives me strength.
Oh, he gives me strength. Very nice.
Thank you.
Connie.
He never gives up on me.
He never gives up on me. Right Right back to Joe Linda.
Because he's already won.
He's already won. He's already won victory. He's already won victory. Anybody else? Sylvia.
He's forgiven me and restored my soul.
He's forgiven me and restored my soul.
Reggie, he's really all we need.
He's all we need. He's all we need. Okay. Anybody else? Before we right here to Dan.
His goodness.
Goodness. Back to Joe. Yeah, go ahead.
He answers prayers.
Because he loves us.
Because he loves us.
Psalm 103:2. He daily loads us, or that's the wrong one, I'm sorry. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation.
The God of our salvation. All right. Jen, is it possible for you to bring those up? Thank you.
Grace.
God's grace. Mercy. Grace, love, and kindness. Gave his life for us. That's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list, right?
Someone quote.
What do you got?
He accepts us.
Isn't that incredible? What a list of things that God, that, you know, there's reasons we love Jesus, right? It's just I'm looking at this list, and it's just and that's a small list. You know, we could go on and on, I'm sure we could go on and on and on, right? So then, you know, like, God's still working on me, and I'm kind of answering these type of, a lot of these answers I kind of had in my head, but I missed a lot of those actually, and that's one of the reasons we need each other, right? Because we remind each other, iron sharpens iron, right? Hearing this type of thing may spur a thought in your head, spurs a thought in my head, right? So, he asked me, why did the people of the Bible start to love God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit within the Bible? You know, and so I was like thinking about that. You see, first he asked me why I love Jesus, then he's asking me why the people in the Bible started to love Jesus and God, and just like really trying to figure this whole thing out. And that was just, as I was thinking about the question and my answers to why I do I love Jesus, I found that my answers had a lot to do with what he had done for me, right? And that's what we kind of ring off a lot, right? Like, what he did for me. And we see that in the Bible as well, right? What he did for people, right? When people were healed, then they loved Jesus. And when the woman at the well was forgiven, then she loved Jesus. And she recognized that he was Jesus. Isn't that amazing how that's what happens? I also recognize that in the Bible, many of the people that love Jesus because he did something for them. Answered prayers, healings, miracles, the promise of a better future, salvation. Right? These are all things that kind of catch our attention. It was not really who he was at first. And that was kind of my walk as well. Like, I didn't start to love Jesus until he did something for me. He pulled me out of a pit. He pulled me out of the pit. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, like, hey, this guy has something for me. It was a little bit of a selfish attitude, really. Wasn't it? Yeah. And so, and we kind of see that in the Bible a lot of times too, is that, you know, like when we come to Christ, and when they came to Christ, and when they really started to believe in Christ, it was after something happened to them. Paul was blind. Then he could see. That's when he converted. Right? And then he continued to ask more questions. And this is going to be a question-laden sermon. You're going to have a lot of questions. And really, I'm not going to give the mic to anybody, but these just are wrestle with yourself to see if God is asking you the same questions he was asking me. If I have not done anything for you, if you continue to struggle, and I had not answered any prayers and provided the life you live, which is very comfortable, would you still love me? Would you still love me? Now, back before something happened to me, I wouldn't. But something happened to me, and then I did. Why do people in other countries that struggle for food do not have a beautiful house, a car, shoes, who have pain, who have been beaten, in jail, love Jesus after being exposed to the Bible or hearing the gospel? Why do they love Jesus? And is that a different type of love than what I kind of ended up having? They're in a hole and they're not getting answers to prayer. As far as what we're thinking from a consumer mindset living in the United States. Those are the questions I'm wrestling with. And now you can wrestle with those questions too. I'll share the burden. Gladly share the burden. I will throw one more thing out that came to me while preparing this message, and this isn't really part of the message, but we are a consumer nation. The majority of us are happy when we get what we want. But when we do not get what we want, we get unhappy real quick. And that's something that we got to remember all the time, is that we grew up in a very blessed nation. And we have a consumer mentality. We're a throwaway nation. You don't, like in the old days, your stove had a problem with it. You fixed it. You made do with what you had. And now what happens is, if I'm going to spend $200 to fix it, I'm going to spend $800 to get a new one. That's a throwaway society. And that's what we've been kind of mindset, right? So we become consumers. And we can do that with God. We can look at Him through a consumer mindset. And that's what he was telling me. It's like, he was saying, like, listen, you're all these things you listed is all things that I've done for you, which is beautiful. But what if I hadn't done that? Would you still love me? And that's a hard question to answer. And more thoughts come to my head. This is what he was saying. What about my love for the most important creature I made? Is my love dependent on what you do for me, or how you obey me, or try to please me in the ways you think pleases me? He said, my love for my people is not dependent on their actions. He has a different type of love. Ours is a consumer mentality. His is there. He said, at times, do I get disappointed with my creation? Yes. Will this disappointment grow as we get closer to the end of an age? Yes. Do I detest people's actions at times? Yes. Do I get angry with them? Yes. And Bill was just talking about Israel. Do you think that God is very happy with what happened in Israel? No. Do you think he detests what happened there? Yes. Do you think it made him angry? Yes. And I can confirm that by looking at how simple he does get turned off by our actions. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. Lying lips. Anybody ever lie in their life? Boom. That was an abomination to the Lord. He did not like when I did that. And that's abomination. He said, do I have to discipline them? Yes. I have high standards, and I am a jealous God. I want the creation I made in my image to love me as much as I love them. That's what he was saying to me. I want them to follow my standards, which I put in place for their benefit. Follow my standards that I put in place for their benefit. Our benefit. But that does not change my love for each person I created. Doesn't change his love. Does he get angry? Yes. Does he have to correct us? Yes. Did he cause a flood? Yes. I was pretty angry at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But does that stop his love for us?
No.
No. And that's a hard concept for us to understand, I think, in this country. Because we're a consumer-based country. What can I get out of this? What is the benefit to me? Then I'll love you. My love is different. It is not dependent on anything. It just is. That's what he said. It just is. My desire is that every person will pursue me, get to know me, and follow me. When the time comes, then they will come home to me. That's his desire. That's the type of love he has. That's his wish. But he knows that ain't gonna happen. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want people to go to hell. But they're gonna. There's gonna be people that go to hell. There are different types of love in the Bible. There's philia, which is friendship. Eros, or eros, which is sensual, romantic love. Storge, love for family, and agape, which is the perfect, unconditional love. And today we're going to talk about agape love. which is the highest form of love. The highest form of love. It's funny how he brought me on this journey, right? He started with me, showing me what kind of love I have for God. And then he's going to talk about what kind of love he has for us. It's amazing. So the word agape is used over 200 times throughout the New Testament, with the most use in the book of 1 John. I did not know that. Here are some definitions and descriptions of agape love that I found. God's love of mankind. It's the love that is given whether or not it is returned. It's love without any self-benefit. There's no self-benefit. Just give it. In Christianity, agape is the love of God for man and of man for God. This is in contrast to philia, brotherly love, or philia, which is self-love, as it embraces a profound sacrificial love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. It doesn't matter. Their love is always there. When the word agape is used in the Bible, it refers to a pure, willful, sacrificial love that's intentionally desires another's highest good. You follow that? It refers to a pure, willful, sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love, right? That intentionally desires another's highest good. It's a love that wants to raise others up. Right? And I look at sports a lot of times, and there's certain people in sports that raise the team's play up. Right? So there's players on the team that really aren't as good as they look because another player is making them better than what they were in reality. And we saw that with the Patriots a lot. Tom Brady had a way of raising other people's play up really good. And then the Patriots would trade that same player that looked really good, and they would stay somewhere else. Right? It's raising someone. It's a sacrifice to raise other people up. That's a gap in love. Agape requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. And the most obvious display of this type of love, obviously in the Bible, is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a gift. It was a sacrifice. Isaiah 53, when they go to Isaiah 53:3, we're going to start seeing how Jesus is described in his sacrifice. That happened 700 years before the birth of Christ. Right? This is a description of what's going to happen before it actually happens. So this is how much God loves us. Right? It was set up. It was planned. This was not a spur-of-the-moment type idea. Like, let's raise and get people out of their misery. It was planned. Ahead of time. Let's go to 3. 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Our peace. He's going to give us peace through him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. Everyone. We all have. To his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our faults. Our sins. Our mess up. All laid on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. You remember that? Are you guilty? Jesus, are you guilty? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. That's love. That is what ended up happening 700 years later. That's love. Did he have to do this for us? He didn't have to do that for us. He didn't have to do it for us. Did any of us do anything to deserve this sacrifice? Absolutely not. He did this sacrifice because he loves us so much and wants us all to have a relationship with us. And he wants us to come home to him when our time comes. That's what he wants. John 15:13 says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He is our best friend. He did lay down his life for us. Sometimes I think we take that for granted, or at least I do. Because I've said it so many times, I've talked about it so many times, that sometimes it just becomes like a routine in my being. And sometimes I have to step back and make pretend I never heard that story before and play it out again in my head as if I had never heard that. He showed us great love for us, for me, you, anybody listening, by laying his life down for us. When Jesus healed people and forgave sins, when we read it in the Bible, that oftentimes he doesn't require anything from them. Right? He doesn't require you to say, hey, kneel down before me, then I'll heal you. Then I'll forgive your sins. He didn't say that. He doesn't require anything from those people other than belief at times. When he instructs people to spit on mud, put it in their eyes, right? You have to have belief in that circumstance, certain circumstances. But most of the time, he does it out of love. Most of the time, he does it out of love. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Right? So if you want to be part of God, you gotta love. Because if you don't, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Love. Sacrificial. Not requiring anything. Just happens. That's agape love. And outside of the love for our parents and our children, we tend to have conditional love. Right? So I think a lot of us understand agape love to some degree if you have a child. Right? It's unconditional. They do a lot wrong. They disobey us a lot. But we still love them. And most of us would die for our child. And maybe that's the way you feel about your parents, the same thing. Right? There are people that don't have that love for their parents. And they don't have that love for their child. It's uncomprehendable to me, but they're out there. It happens. But we tend to have a conditional love most of the time. Meaning, our love can fluctuate on many factors, including what's going on around us. You ever lose a friend out of your circle, and you don't really care for them anymore? That was conditional on something that happened that broke that friendship. And you lost love for them. I lost love for them. That's a conditional love. Even with Jesus, many times, it is conditional at first. Jesus did something in our lives. We started to have an appreciative love. But then over time, through a relationship with him, it can develop into agape love. It can develop into agape love, even if you started out as a conditional love. And that's when everything changes, isn't it? It's a different type of love that you have with Jesus. All of a sudden, when your prayers aren't answered, you don't start to question him. All of a sudden, when bad things are happening to you, you have faith in him still. It's a little different. It's developed. It's changed. You're starting to see that God loves you no matter what. So is it worth us to love him no matter what? But God has that type of love for me and you and 100% of his people. Nothing started it. It was there. He wants us all to want him to be with him and glorify him. Not everyone will surrender to his will for this, but he desires that. Thank you, Jesus, for your unfailing love for us. So when you're battling life, when things are crumbling around us, don't ever question God's love for you. It's there. It's there. And if we have a true faith and a belief of where we're going, who we're going to be united with, then that should mean something. Through the turmoils, knowing that the end result, a renewed body, a renewed mind, united with Christ. It shouldn't even be a matter of like, oh, I want to get to heaven so I don't go to hell. It really should be, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be connected. I want to touch Him. I want Him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And if I hear those words, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Nothing I've done down here can change that. No matter how much money I have, cars I have, anything. Nothing will change that. So dear Jesus, we just love you and thank you. We thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you for your sacrifice for me and everyone in here. An unfailing love. A desire to be connected to little old me. No matter what I have to offer or don't offer, your love sustains us. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for this list of all you've done for us. But even more so, at this stage, I thank you for who you are. No matter what.